under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just go wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. I'm gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son, don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour on this Friday, February 23rd, 2024 edition, Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. As usual, joining us in this second hour is Pastor Chatfield. History lesson. I'm wondering that thinking that you're probably teaching World War II in school.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yes, sir. And you've got some famous quotes that you want to set up and explain to the audience and quiz us this morning.
Yes, I was hoping that you would inform the students, the listeners, of the quiz. Otherwise, this is a pop quiz.
This is a pop quiz.
Okay, this is a pop quiz.
Yes, right. Sir. Absolutely. Yeah, I missed your text before the end of the show. I was so busy yesterday. I had 417 text messages during my 3 hours. So between the stories I was reading off the laptop and reading text messages and trying to keep my thoughts going on the microphone, I had a pretty challenging day yesterday.
Wow.
Well, yeah, it was a fun show. We worked really hard. It was good. But you, you're going to pop some questions out, some quotes that happened during World War II. We're supposed to remember this.
Right. Well, okay. The World War II era, mostly all World War II.
And sure.
All right, so here's the first one. Who said this? The Sudetenland is the last territorial demand that I have to make in Europe. September 26, 1938. The Sudetenland.
The Sudetenland.
Which is
where is the Sudetenland?
Western Czechoslovakia. It is predominantly, or has a large minority of German-speaking people.
Okay.
And it was handed over to somebody at the Munich meeting in 1938. And then somebody said, this is easy here, on September 26, 1938, the Sudetenland is the last territorial demand I have to make in Europe. Who said that?
Adolf Hitler.
Adolf Hitler. I mean, that's what he said.
That's what he said.
This is the end. Now, go ahead.
Well, 1938, though, but wasn't he just basically getting rolling in that part of the world where he was taking over at the time? That was what, Poland and all those other Slavic nations, right?
Well, Poland didn't have until September 1st, 1939, about a year later.
A year later, okay.
They had already annexed Austria. And they call that the Anschluss. They had already annexed it without firing a shot, and he demanded the western portion of Czechoslovakia. Okay, so who said this? In that same, almost the same day, or very shortly after, this person stood outside number 10 Downing Street and said, My good friends, for the second time in our history, a British prime minister has returned from Germany bringing peace with honor. I believe it is peace for our time. Who said that?
Well, he was referring to Winston Churchill as being the prime minister?
Nope.
Point of clarification.
He preceded. This person preceded Churchill.
Now, okay.
Churchill had been warning, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Churchill said, here's another quote I didn't even put on the quiz. He says, you have chosen to appease Hitler. You chose that, but you're going to have war. That's what Churchill said. But who said, who said, I have peace? I believe that it is peace for our time. He got off the plane, waved a piece of paper. It was windy. I believe it is peace for our time. That's Neville Chamberlain.
Oh, Chamberlain. Okay. Chamberlain.
Yeah.
Now, Chamberlain was very much trying to negotiate. He didn't want. Let's discuss that after the break.
We'll do.
That's a great, great place to take a short break. Word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Next time you need tires for your car, don't compromise. Michelin Passenger Tires strive to deliver outstanding safety, long tread life, and excellent fuel efficiency. Plus, they're famous for delivering a quiet, comfortable ride and precision handling to help ensure optimum safety for you and your passengers. Outfit your car with tires that deliver everything. Ask about Michelin Tires. Royal Tire and Petoskey has the right set of Michelin tires for whatever you drive. Stop in and see us today. Specific performance may vary by tire model.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Chuck or Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. patriotsrelief.com.
I am Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, running for U.S. Senate. I received a quality education, and it was instilled in me, if I worked hard enough, I could do anything. That is the American dream. Today, our school children are not getting the same opportunity. Instead of learning the Constitution and basic academics, children are being groomed by Marxist ideas. We need to eliminate the Department of Education and protect our children. As your next U.S. Senator, they will have to go through me to get to your kids. Vote Dr. Sherry O'Donnell for U.S. Senate. Paid for by Doc Sherry for Senate.
Montana Black Angus beef raised in Onaway, Michigan. Tolini Farms have been raising their cows by feeding them non-GMO corn, barley, wheat, and alfalfa hay, all grown on their own farm. Taking the Ebles for processing, aged, standard cut, vacuum sealed, and frozen, ready for immediate delivery directly to you. Call them today at 989-733-2782 for their current $4 per hanging weight pound. Quarters or halves will feed your family for a year. Call them right now at 989-733-2782.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show, second segment of hour two with our history lesson. And on that point, Chamberlain did not want to confront Hitler, did not want to go to war with Hitler. He was trying to be basically an appeaser. Is that an accurate statement?
That's it. Appeasement at Munich, 1938. Yeah, it's so when you hear somebody say, "Well, I believe we have peace in our time," you cannot give in to bullies. It is just the nature of human history. And Churchill had warned him not to do that. By the way, even when Churchill formed a new government after the beginning of World War II, he still had people that wanted to negotiate with Hitler and come to some sort of a negotiated settlement. And it was only and there was a period of time that Churchill even considered it because it looked so dark for Britain. But in the end, he didn't. And so that is the way it is. And by the way, okay, this is kind of an easy question here. Who said this? After this, our enemies are little worms. I saw them at Munich. Our enemies are little worms. I saw them at Munich.
I have no idea.
Adolf Hitler said that. You say, well, if you would just show to Hitler that you want peace and you'll talk and you'll negotiate with him,
right?
He'll see that you're reasonable, and that'll cause him to back down. Our enemies are little worms. I saw them at Munich. It didn't help anything.
Right. Well, let me ask you this question on that point about Hitler, because I don't remember reading Mein Kampf, his book. But what was his ultimate goal? What was his vision of his Nazi Germany being expanded? What territories, what areas, what regions did he want to fully dominate and control?
Here's the saying of the Nazi Party: today Germany, tomorrow the world.
It was the world.
Yeah, he wanted world domination. He wanted it because the Germans were the Aryan race. They were the somebody called social Darwinism. He believed in it. The idea that the Germans, the Aryans, the light-skinned, have evolved and are really destined to control the world, and it's good for all humanity that would happen. And the lesser races, the blacks, the gypsies, the Slavs, especially the Jews, need to be eradicated. It's the Jews that have caused all the problems throughout the world, and it's why we lost World War I, Hitler said. And so there's a completely racist ideology based on social Darwinism that just as mankind evolved from lower forms of animals, the Aryan race, the German people, the blue-eyed, blonde-haired, light-skinned people, they are the highest form of humanity, and they are destined to rule the world.
Mm. Wow.
That is completely racist.
Sure.
In their thinking. And by the way, just so you know, not totally absent in America, a lady named Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, she was a complete racist. The whole notion of abortion way back in the early part of the 20th century was, hey, now we can encourage black people to have abortions because we can all see that they're inferior. So you see where social Darwinism takes you?
Sure.
I mean, that is the way it is. It's terrible ideology, completely wrong. I hope somebody doesn't take this transcript and put me out of context. But that was the ideology of Hitler. Okay, so September 1st, 1939, Germany invades Poland, a naked act of aggression, of course, totally a naked act of aggression. And Chamberlain, by that time, sees the light. And he basically, he gives the Germans an ultimatum to get out. And I'm looking for that quote, but you guys will just have to believe me because where is it?
Get out. Now, he was referring to not only Great Britain, was he also referring to the other expanded territories in Europe that Hitler was going after, or was he specific only to Great Britain?
Okay, he was talking to Great Britain and France, France had signed a treaty with Poland and had promised to defend Poland if they're attacked.
Right.
And so when Poland got attacked, they went ahead and declared war on Germany. And he said, we are in now a state of war with Germany. That, unfortunately, now it's way too late at this point.
Sure.
In other words, if you know your geography, you've got the most farthest country west is the island of Great Britain.
Sure.
Then to the east is France, then Germany, then Poland. How are they going to get troops over there to defend Poland? Plus the fact, about a month or two earlier, the Germans had signed a treaty with the Soviet Union, a non-aggression pact. And it was kind of understood, we'll take the western part of Poland, you can have the eastern part of Poland. So at the beginning of World War II, the Soviet Union had assigned this pact with Germany, kind of an agreement, really, that they weren't going to go to war immediately. And so when Germany invaded Poland, there was no hope for Poland immediately. And so you go to war. Okay, that is what happened. That is the way it is. That is history. Let me read you now. After that, from September 1st, I want to get into some quiz questions here, but you got me on the path explaining what happened in the war. After that, from in the fall of 39 into the winter months of 1940, that was a period of time during World War II in which it was called Sitzkrieg, which is a German word, means phony war, or because not much was happening. And so that is the way it is. And Churchill was saying, wait a minute here. This guy is not going to stop Hitler. Here's what he says, and this is he says this on January 20th, 1940. Churchill says, each one hopes that if he feeds the crocodile enough, the crocodile will eat him last. And all of them hope that the storm will pass before their turn comes to be devoured. But I fear greatly, the storm will not pass. It will rage and it will roar ever more loudly and ever more widely. In other words, the United States at the time, and still parts of Europe, are thinking, look, this, you know, okay, he took Poland, and now the France is secure behind their Maginot Line. There's been almost no action for the first 5 months or 6 months of World War II. You know, just sit back. It'll be all right. And the idea is you just hope the crocodile will eat you last. You can see the storm coming, but you convince yourself that it's not actually going to happen.
Right. He's going to magically pull up short of your country and leave you alone. He'll be satisfied. He's taken enough. He's full. He's not going after anymore.
That's right. Exactly right. Let me tell you something else. Now, basically, Chamberlain admits, man, we got to go to war. He backs out. He was wrong. And let me read you something that Churchill says at his funeral, because it's good. Churchill says that Neville Chamberlain's, he was the preceding prime minister of Churchill, November 12th, 1940. It is not given to human beings, happily for them, for otherwise life would be intolerable, to foresee or to predict to any large extent the unfolding course of events. So by that time, man, we're in the middle of the Battle for Britain, and it is a fierce battle. And so, and it was, God took Neville Chamberlain mercifully home. Was he a Christian? Maybe he was, I don't know. But at least he didn't have to see all his mistakes play out right in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to see that. You know, none of us would want to see that. So what happens is we go to war. And it is blatantly obvious after the fall of France that Germany basically controlled almost all of France. And Churchill makes a speech, and he says, the Battle of Britain is over. Excuse me, the Battle of France is over. The Battle of Britain is about to come.
Yes.
Okay, and there's some long portions of this speech I've read on your program a couple times, but here's one thing that Churchill said. He said, we shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. June 4th, 1940. No way. We are not going to surrender. Interestingly, while all this is going on, I mean, now they get the Battle of Britain. Initially, it was fighter planes. Who could get dominance in the sky, get air superiority? The RAF eventually won that, the Royal Air Force. Okay. Randy, I'll quiz you on this way. What did Churchill say about the Royal Air Force that defended Britain in the Battle of Britain before the mass bombings began later of the night bombings, especially over London? Do you remember the quote that
I do not remember that quote.
Okay, here's what Churchill said. It's a very famous quote. He said, never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few.
So
I mean,
few.
That the RAF and basically slowed it down. It wasn't a turning point in the war. But by that point, the Germans kind of gave up the idea of invading Britain. Now, before that, after the fall of France, even after the miraculous evacuation from Dunkirk in France, the Brits thought they were going to be invaded. They were training everybody. And in retrospect, thankfully, it didn't happen. Maybe the Germans would have won because the British were not overconfident. They didn't think that they could stop the Germans from landing, but the Germans didn't. Now, here's something interesting happened. We've learned this throughout the decades in history, that Hermann Göring, convinced Hitler that he could break Great Britain with air power alone. You don't have to invade. We can break them. Our Luftwaffe is superior. We can break them. And that just proved to be wrong. Now, the fighters, the Germans lost more fighters than the British did. And they did later at night. They started bombing British cities. But they did not break the RAF. They did not break the will of the British people either. I mean, that's just who they are. And Churchill caught that and led that. I mean, he led that. There's an instance where Churchill, he wanted, this is before focus groups, but he was going to a meeting, and he got on the subway and just went and sat down. And everybody noticed, whoa, this is the prime minister here.
Right.
What's he doing here? And he just started saying, well, what do you think about what's going on? And just about everybody on the train says, fight them. We'll never surrender. You stand up, do you? Thank you. Because he was getting political pressure, even some from his own party. Hey, let's negotiate a peace. And the people are saying, no, let's not negotiate. And so even though Churchill was a great leader, he needed a little bit of reassurance that this was the right path. And he did. And as you know, they survived eventually. And the Allies won the war. Okay, let me give you something.
You're going to have to hold it because I got one text message here, and this is absolutely right on. When Churchill gave that famous speech you just referred to, did that change the thinking in America? I want to talk about where was America at that time, 1940. Short break, bottom of the hour news. We'll be right back.